Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Matrix Moments. I am very, very excited about today's panel. We have a fantastic set of people with us today. We're going to cover, sort of recent trends in gaming in India. All of us who've been sort of listening to the Matrix podcast would know that gaming is one of the sectors that we're very, very bullish about. There's a few themes within that that we've been spending time on, and the thought today was to bring together a bunch of people who are very, very experienced and very knowledgeable about what's happening in gaming in India and globally as well. Within gaming, esports and e-streaming is something which has really, really taken off through COVID. So we're going to talk about that as well. And towards the end, we'll spend a few minutes talking about Web3, NFT, GameFi, and a bunch of all the exciting sort of buzzwords that all of us have been hearing about, and try to break it down and see how real it is and what the opportunities are. So I couldn't be more excited to welcome our three panelists today. I'll start with Manish. Manish, thank you so much for doing this. I've been good friends, but I always learn a lot from you every time we speak. Manish, for those who don't know, is the CEO at Nazara Technologies, which is India's only listed online gaming company. So Manish, thank you again for doing this. I'll just go in order. The second is Thomas. Thomas is the founder and CEO of Omelette, which is one of the leading sort of e-streaming platforms and community platforms globally. And Thomas is going to add a global view to see sort of share what he's seeing around the world, but more so in India as well, given you'll have a lot of customers in India as well. So Thomas, again, welcome and thank you. And last, Anirudh. Anirudh, is a well-known personality in the online gaming space in India. Anirudh is the founder of Loco, which is one of India's largest sort of e-streaming platforms. Anirudh, thank you again for being here with us for this. Really looking forward to your insights as well. I'm going to also just quickly introduce my colleagues, Ayush and Rahul, who are actually going to sort of MC this discussion for us, and I'll just keep butting in with my comments and questions. Ayush and Rahul are part of the gaming team at Matrix. They spend time with me on gaming investments. Ayush, over to you. Maybe you could start with a few thoughts from your side, and then open it up to the panel for the questions that we want to cover today.
Sure. Thank you so much, Tarun, and welcome again to all the panelists. We couldn't be more excited to have you guys with us. So maybe I'll start with quickly covering our outlook on this space. Would want to keep it short and then would open it up, right? So just double clicking on the COVID tailwind point that Tarun mentioned, the way we see it, and 2020 and 2021 were perhaps the watershed years for the Indian gaming industry, right? Today, we are one of the top five markets globally in terms of viewers. And India today has, 400 million plus gamers, and the number keeps on increasing day in and day out, right? And all of the viewers, all of the streamers, everybody is looking for alternate forms of gaming entertainment, right? What COVID has also done is propelled this creation, e-streaming and creation from a pastime to actually a career option, right? The fact that five of the top 10 YouTubers are e-streamers who are earning more than $1 million on YouTube alone is a very big testament to this fact, right? India also possesses a very unique opportunity in the sense that we are a mobile first market. We completely leapfrogged the PC and the console gen, which also provides very unique opportunities to build mobile first solutions for the Indian market. And what Tarun mentioned, coupled with the advent of Web3, GameFi, the space is only getting more interesting, right? So what we think is, as the gamer base keeps on expanding and with all of these macro factors, e-streaming and e-sports is going to become a very key trend going forward. And that's why I think we are very excited about this entire space, about the exciting founders that are building in this space and the innovative business models that are coming up, right? So with this, let us just dive in and maybe we can start with e-sports, right? And as I said, e-sports is slowly and steadily growing, has now become the second largest destination after IPL, with more than 20 million plus viewers across tournaments, right? So Manish, maybe would love to get your thoughts on this, given you run NODWIN, which is the largest esports player in India today, right? So having looked at the esports industry for so long, would love to get your perspective on how have you seen this space evolve, particularly over the past 2-3 years, and where do you think this space is headed? What would really usher the next level of growth?
So guys, this space my brush with this space started in 2012. And the disclaimer is I'm antique. So that is how in Busan in Korea, I saw esports tournament and a massive stadium completely full of young kids, and they were watching something on stream, and there were another set of younger kids playing on the stage, and I said, yeah, what is happening here? One has seen football matches or cricket matches before that, and you really didn't know, and then you suddenly click, oh, they're playing a game, and there is a set of professional players, so to say, who are sitting there, and they are kind of really playing, and these are all their fans which are clamoring and they're kind of rooting for them as they kind of go about. And kid you not, that was a time when I thought that this is something in India which will go really crazy because of our young population, and gaming is a conviction which one developed long, long back. So now in sports entertainment, around with the context of gaming is something which I've been very bullish. And that's why as Nazara, when we partnered with Akshat at NODWIN in 2017, I remember telling my board, what is esports? And I had to really dig out some videos to kind of show to them what is esports and why this will become big. And they said, can't you find something better to invest in? And rather than kind of really wasting time on all of this. And I think fast forward, the conviction and belief has only strengthened with every year. And as Ayushu mentioned, last 2 years have been amazing catalyst for the viewership. I really believe that a few factors, underlying factors. One, it's on mobile. I can play as a team versus team every day. And that is my community platform to kind of unwind. It is weather resilient. I don't need to worry about rain, heat, whatever it is. Convenience of playing every day is there. It leads to conversations because when I'm playing as my team, my other friends are also kind of watching. And then the entire hierarchy of sports really kicks in, where you have zero to hero stories, those celebration of those hero stories, you have fandom happening, you have people who want to aspire to become a college hero or a city hero or a state hero or national hero. So all of that really kind of is built into this sports ecosystem. And the beauty of this is the format is shrunk into, let's say, 18 minutes. So I was watching 5 days cricket match, then ODI happened, and then T20 happened. And I think now it's 18 minutes with 7 matches or 9 matches happening. So your curve of emotional curve is amazingly sinusoidal, and you can really kind of have your underdog feeling of somebody kind of coming back after chips are down. So I think those are the elements which I believe that if not bigger, but at least as big as cricket viewership is what we are kind of really banking upon in Indian subcontinent for cricket. And we have a larger theory that the emerging markets, esports will be number 2 sports besides whatever is popular as number 1. If it's soccer in Africa, it will be soccer and then esports. If it's cricket and esports. And that's what we are really going after and building.
Lord, very thanks, Manish. Manish, just picking on one point that you mentioned, right, that now more and more different types of players are coming in, different category of players are coming in. There's literally what Anirudh calls it, a Cambrian explosion of talent happening in esports, right? So how do you see that happening? How have you seen that evolve in terms of also the demography of players actually playing, right? The type of players playing this game, and where is this heading?
I think the key thing which I'm still, the opportunity is, there is a bottleneck in that opportunity, is the number of games which can really command esports viewership. To me, that is, you take out esports viewership and BGMI viewership today in India after Free Fire ban, and you will really find that the viewership shrinks, right? And Anirudh can give more details on that. So I would like to have 15 equivalent games which can really command that kind of viewership, right? And then the heterogeneity of your players and their cohorts, their profiles, their things would kindly be very, very distributed. Otherwise, today we are kind of really talking about one game players, maybe language, vernacular, place when they're playing, kind of things they are doing, that could vary. But the number of games is what I think is needed for the true potential or true dream which I have for it to really come and play out.
Got it. Anirudh, would love to get your thoughts on this with, you know, tournaments such as the World Series of Poker coming in and the Moneyball moments happening, right? Where not a pro poker player, but just a normal accountant coming and winning millions of dollars, right? How do you think this would influence the new upcoming players, the new upcoming esports players, right? And what more can be done to, you know, really get people interested in this game?
Yeah, I think, look, for me, the first brush, I think Manish structured it very well. My first brush was when I was running Pocket Aces. I had a very big advantage compared to every other entrepreneur is that everybody in my company was very young. So whatever they were doing always gives you a sort of insight into where the market is going. And everybody was playing what was then called PUBG Mobile at the time. And that started really got me thinking what's going on here. And that led us to, you know, change the complete business towards game streaming. And today, when you look at it, if, you know, if I have to compare it to Manish, gave an example of cricket, you know, I say that, you know, Kapil Dev has just been born and, you know, Sachin is not arrived yet, MS is not arrived. But what is going to happen is all these guys are going to arrive in a much shorter frame of time. And I refer to this Cambrian explosion because what's happening is with the old world of sports, you could see cricket half an hour a day, then it became 1 hour, then you could see it all day. And as you got more and more accessible forms of entertainment, more and more supply of talent came through because even parents said, okay, yeah, my kid can become an IPL player. When I used to play a lot of cricket growing up, you know, you only saw the 10, 20 guys again and again, just rotating through. Now there's like every team has like many people, it's become a profession and you can have a fun time. What I'm seeing now is what I call the sort of WSOP effect, right? Which is different from the moneymaker effect. I just coined this term WSOP effect, which is if you see, and I'm a big poker player, it's like every time there's a famous guy on screen in the WSOP, some other guy on the table pushes all in 100% because at least he gets on TV. Right. And usually with poker, there'll be some 30% chance or a 20% chance. So it's not you like you don't have any chance. You could win. If you win, like you're a legend in your town on your friends. Right? I'm seeing that in esports as well, where smaller teams are sniping the bigger teams. They know where these guys land. They know where these guys are slow. They know what's happening. And so they will go for the big team. So rather than, you know, sometimes you might take a strategy that I'll go for a small team. They go for the biggest team right away. And you see this times right now, we have BMOC live on Loco. This is becoming BMPS, which is a very prestigious sort of, I would call it the Grand Slam type tournament. A lot of the invited teams are out because they were caught napping. And I think this is just the start. And I also have a theory that to become good at anything, you have to spend a significant amount of time on that, right? And in India, people have a lot of time. And you look at from an entertainment point of view, actually, gaming is much cheaper than a lot of other forms of entertainment. And I mean gaming, I mean this sort of PUBG Mobile, Free Fire, BGMI, this sort of gaming, which is kind of free to play. So you end up having, you know, your even if you include sort of, you know, in-app purchases, it is about a third of what Netflix costs, right? And if you don't purchase, it's of course just data cost. So, it you know, when you're in a smaller village or town, what are your options for entertainment, right? And now, you know, with this, the infrastructure required is not that much. You just need a phone. So you're seeing a huge demand and we're seeing it. We're seeing insane numbers. Honestly, we just saw a very small tournament like on Loco. It was not some big tournament. Already 200,000 plus people watching at the same time. So concurrency of 200K plus ACU. I'm a big Liverpool fan, as you can see, and I've not seen too many Liverpool games this year also with 200K plus ACU on Hotstar. So I think we're getting there. And I just want to end with a simple anecdote. You know, I often say sometimes you follow the data and sometimes the data follows you. So, there are two anecdotes I wanted to show. One is my nephew recently pinged me and said, hey, can you help me meet, Scout? Which I was like, why do you want to meet Scout? He said, I want to be Scout when I grow up, right? That's like the idols and the pop culture, you know, icons are changing. And recently, my partner Ashwin, he asked someone at a party who's their favorite sports person. And honestly, we were saying it just thinking about who can we sign, etc. Do we need a brand ambassador? And we were thinking, honestly, I was thinking actually it'll be like Rishabh Pant or Hardik Pandya. but they mentioned Mortal and Scout, and that just shows you where young people are. And it's across India, right? If I show you my distribution of cities, it's not like, you know, Tarun and I have been in this business long enough where, you know, there used to be tier one platforms, there used to be tier two platforms. This is the first time I'm seeing a pretty even thing, because anyone, anywhere is like, I can make it. And some of the top guys today, there is Mavi, who is from Sangrur. It's a small town in Punjab. He's a top player. And you will see this iconic figure. I cannot forget. He had like some 40,000 people watching him. He's got his quilt on. And he's playing with his pillow in front. And he's playing. And he's really good. And then on the other side, you have someone like a Jonathan, who is from Bandra, right? Very urban sort of kind of milieu. So I think it's across countries, and it'll take time. It's not going to happen right away. I think depth, as Manish said, is something that will happen over time. But it's a really, really exciting time to work in something like this.
And, you know, then Manish, I'll just one sort of follow-up question. So, you know, a lot of us read these headlines about $300 million of sort of total esports winnings around the world. You know, we hear about, you know, people like Total Gaming and a few others, and you gave a few examples, making literally millions of dollars a year on this stuff, right? As you look at TAM in India today, and maybe projected out, say, 5 years, what's the, like, you know, beyond the headline, like, you know, eyeball popping numbers, like, just break it down and make it a bit more real for, you know, people to understand what's the real TAM here, what's the opportunity, you know, for somebody who's looking to start up in this space. Like, how should they look at it? And not just today, right? But maybe 5 years from today, what does that look like? And how do you guys see it?
Ani, you must be fresh from the fundraising.
No, I actually think about this question quite a bit, because India is obviously such a large market. When you look at, you know, we have, call it 700 million internet users, as Ayush mentioned earlier, 400 million gamers. I personally believe the word gamers is going to be extinct in, you know, 3-4 years. It's going to be like saying, do you watch television series or whatever? Like, nobody asks that, right? You ask how much the viewership was for a particular, you know, show or whatever. So I think that's the same thing that you will see. So from a user count point of view, you're looking at, you know, I think the mobile arcade type games will be, you know, 300, 400 million plus users easily. I think everybody is going to be gamers. So whatever 700 million internet users are there today will be all gamers, everybody playing something. And you also have like a big cohort of young people graduating who played games and know how to operate there. In terms of the market size, look, depending on where you operate, right? If you're a publisher, your market size is a bit different. If you're a game streaming platform, it's a bit different. But I think multi-billion dollar businesses will get built. It's not even, you know, that, okay, like, you know, are you going to reach $100 million in revenue? I think you can easily beat that. And that's just from simple sort of willingness to pay analysis we have done internally, where our investors have done it, and the numbers are actually higher than what I thought. And I think the other way I triangulate this is, okay, look, gaming itself will be $7-8 billion business, with a lot of that might be RMG, like 30-40% might be RMG, but a lot of the rest is going to be kind of typical gaming. On the other hand, you have online video, which is subscriptions as advertising, that is also going to start moving towards this, right? So towards what I'm doing, but also in general, like, as people, if you think of video games as frontline entertainment, which I do, and which entertainment execs used to laugh at me when I used to say that 5 years ago, but you know, today, I think their market share is actually under danger, which is why you see Netflix making the first steps towards starting a gaming franchise, right? And you know today you're looking globally, I don't know, like, and TJ will know this better than me, but you know, 180 billion 200 billion is market size of video games, versus some of the other guys, like box office is much smaller, you know, music is much smaller. I think VOD is the only one which is even in the same ballpark, and it's also, I think, like 50-60% lower. So I think there is no reason India, with the advent of mobile games of this kind of scale and size that we've seen now with Battlegrounds, Mobile India, Free Fire, more are coming. And because every publisher has now seen this, like, they've seen that, oh, the users exist, they can spend, they're going to show up. So I think once that happens, you're going to have much more content, and then that opens up the rest of the ecosystem quite a bit. So yeah, my view is that it's a very, very large TAM. And I think you just pick a particular thing that you can get really good at. And even, you know, we don't talk about PC gaming. We kind of treat it like the small thing that kind of sucks. But even PC gaming in five years is going to start looking like bigger than many other gaming markets. And it's kind of that like ignored opportunity. Like, what are you going to do with those guys? But those guys are the highest spending category inside gaming. So you can pick your own kind of vertical, which you like, and you have somewhat of a wedge in and get stuck in there.
Thanks, Anirudh. I think this would be a good time to bring in TJ to give us a global outlook on the space as well, right? Especially when we talk about the global TAM. Thomas, what do you think has enabled China and Southeast Asia to become one of the largest esports markets in the world, right? And what could be the learnings for Indian counterparts?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's really been exciting to see is that all of the e-streaming stuff from mobile has grown like really incredibly as all the mobile networks took off, started to have, you know, good, cheap data available. People really always want to engage in these social activities around something that they, you know, share an interest around. So traditional sports is really that, you know, something that brings us together to learn a lot more about it, to enjoy it together, give us that conversation backing. And on, you know, the, you know, esports side, the mobile games, as they mature, they give us an opportunity to watch that incredibly skilled gameplay, but also to come in and participate in doing it ourselves. And so what we saw happen, you know, in a lot of places in Asia is that, you know, start to see people at, you know, dinner, and after dinner, they pull out their phones and they're playing a match just after, that's their dessert, right? And I think that's something we don't really see like in the US, that, you know, being, you know, sort of a global platform, we have the opportunity to experience that. And, you know, we saw the trajectory is very different in sort of the Western markets and the Asian markets. So I would say that, you know, we're starting to see things ramp up in Europe a little bit in terms of the adoption of mobile esports and mobile e-streaming. It's a couple of years later, right? Because we really saw everything blow up, you know, probably earliest in Thailand and Vietnam around 2016, 2017. And I think, you know, at that time, you know, we saw, you know, India didn't grow as quickly in terms of like adopting at least our platform and technology. And the big factor that we saw there is just the cost of mobile data. And so I think that, you know, as Reliance brought the unlimited data to be like an absolute standard in India, that really unlocked like a huge part of our industry. And so I think that's been, you know, really exciting to now have the opportunity to reach, you know, a billion more consumers there. And, you know, I think that more recently, you know, what we see is like, you know, what are the big events that make people believe that gaming is cool? Like, not cool for geeks, but like very good for everyone. You know, America's moment was really like Twitch with Ninja playing with Drake. And that was like huge. It just unlocked a whole wave of interest in online streaming and respect, basically, for that's a real thing. And I think that that's what a lot of these really top stars and top quality esports content can serve as something to show that off. But I think, you know, we have to all be creative to help inspire those moments to happen. I don't think you can really script the best ones, but I think it's those things that will push us, you know, to the next phase of this.
Yeah. And Manish, would love to get your thoughts in as well. How far do you think we are from where China is today, right? China has specific stadiums where esports is played, right? So how far do you think we are away from that, and what would it take us to get there?
So Rahul, if you look at it, esports is an outcome of the underlying multiplayer games. If you do not have, and my personal opinion is, for a game to really become qualified for an esports viewership business model, it needs to at least have 7-8 million DAOs, 30-50 million MAUs. If you really do not have that kind of scale, you will not be able to generate those CCUs, which Anirudh is talking about, those viewership, and then the fame I can't become like bachpan mein mummy bolti thi na 5 ki 5 bachcho class mein first aa gaya. That doesn't make sense, right? So you need to really be a hero among a large community. So that's exactly what is. So what is missing there? 3 years, India has now at least got some respectable number of in-app purchase as a business market. Like 2017, we were number 4 in downloads. We were doing $50 million of IAP as a country, right? Now, $50 million of IAP, no global publisher will even really waste their time. Kudos to Tencent and PUBG to take this market, build that base as PUBG, create that multiplayer environment, invest in the infrastructure, and coupled with the improvement in our mobile network infrastructure, right? Now, fast forward today, at least my sources and anecdotally, I understand that it is roughly around crossing 700 million kind of a number in terms of in-app purchase. So that's what we are talking about, 17 to 21, 22. And that makes it at least some exciting number and not a rounding of figure for global publishers to come and start looking at India, right? How many such games, as I mentioned earlier, today are really esports viewership good, right? In mobile. In PC, there's a very hardcore audience. It's a very niche audience. The engagements are different, but the business model has to be very different. It can't be a volume-based business models. Now, in China, just to juxtapose this, we have maybe 80 million multiplayer players, which are mid-core, hardcore in India today. And there will be a right 500, 600 million guys in China. So that's the juxtaposition of numbers, which makes it a very attractive market for you to look at. And as Anirudh was talking about, 900 million Indians will become gamers. This question of how many gamers will cease to exist, because it's the most dominant form of entertainment which will happen. Out of that, the key question on esports would be how many of them are really becoming a multiplayer two teams versus one versus one versus one, 3 versus 3, 5 versus 3, 5 versus 5 kind of tournament formats, which they will continue to play. But that's where the sports really kicks in, the whole competitive piece. And I think that is a 5-6 years away. It's not going to really kind of change that. It has been accelerated, and that's the reason why all of us are excited about it. It last 2 years has accelerated the adoption of it. And what adoption, in my opinion, is that the parents which never understood what their kid is doing on PUBG or a Free Fire, now at least they understand what the kid is playing, because they were forced to be locked down in one house for 20 months and they had to really coexist. And that's why they are now understanding these games. And that has kind of really got it a mainstream acceptability. And from that onward point onward, I think the market needs to really have $2-3 billion depth in terms of in-app purchases. It needs to have 200 million, 250 million mid-core, hardcore users. More number of games will happen. And then whether it's Anirudh or whether us, we will be really seeing a hockey stick curve in our revenues, in our time spent, in our engagement, any metrics you talk about.
Okay. This was very helpful, Manish. Thank you so much. Now,
Did you, Ayush, gave all my notes to Manish or what?
No.
he got access to your investor present.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.